and we have pushed for this care management of this. 40 of our municipalities on the Shepherd now received licenses in terms of better management of waste disposal facilities, at the same time addressing the hazardous implications of environmental impact. We think that it is a step in the right direction, and gradually to build all municipalities to be able to have regularized facilities. Under municipal health services audit, again this year, we have conducted an advocated for a funding of the function around municipal health services. And to the renewal of this, based on our presentation, the funds are now to have a modest increase, yet significant, 5 grand to 7 grand per household. And when we quantify on scale, we're just given one example of one municipality in this street that was almost on the verge of retrenching their staff, according to their reports they've given us. But they were able to manage to save significant costs in a financial year as a result of this fund allocation. 19 municipalities were supported around climate change risk and vulnerability assessments, and assisted also to develop climate change responses. The technical assistance around this area, it has enabled these municipalities to translate climate science data, as well as ensuring that their decision-making process around resource planning is informed. This has also enabled municipalities, based on this technical support from SALGA, to access the climate change funding. For example, 10 million allocated through an international application fund to projects in Northern Cape, Namakwa, Burundi, and KZN, and Mofano districts in Limpopo. The business adopt a municipality joint program, SALGA, SANTA, and COCTA, focusing largely on disaster management. These are the municipalities that were candidate beneficiaries for this program, and they have received fire equipment. They have also been assisted around capacity building on disaster risk management, and its impact is around ensuring that their capabilities are built to ensure that we have better response and efficiencies around managing disaster, training of competent staff, and abilities to conduct fire risk assessment. So these have been given to all these municipalities, and they've largely been appreciated. The mentioning of many other vulnerable groups in terms of our second goal, again, we now have part of the chairperson a SALGA Women's Commission nationally, provincially, and through this program, there's targeted support in terms of ensuring that better mainstreaming takes place in terms of our public name. And on the second area, again, community libraries, which is a major problem in many municipalities around our cross-association model. Most municipalities are betting on this. They push for a bill around libraries and information system. And this bill, we hope, once it's fully processed, is pushing for a municipal support fund to make sure that there's a question around association of management of some of these facilities. Around LED-friendly formal trading regulations, many municipalities have received this support, in particular around training of local leadership. Councillors, as you speak, shares in Northern Cape, Free State, Northern Natal, Eastern Cape, our teams are providing training around leadership on LED, as well as a program called the Small Sound Regeneration Program. This also assists in terms of enabling municipalities to ready for the Special Legislative Management Act implementation that was recently passed last year. On the third goal around regulations, again, we have also made significant inputs around the National Special Legislative Management Bill, which have referred to in class, Free State Special Legislative Management Bill, and also ensuring that there must be clear resources for response around this, and also ensuring that municipalities around planning, their status is actually affirmed that in their competence to implement this. So it has also been confirmed by constitutional court judgment in terms of ensuring that. The improvement of oversight in municipalities through building the capacity of MPACs, very clear practical guides developed by SALGA, supported and trained municipalities around MPACs, Free State around terms of reference for even implementing what is called shared service for MPACs, and also showing that annual plans are developed for the functioning of MPS in all these categories. Mm-hmm. So this has resulted or observed that by 2018, accepting Western Cape, all MPS have been established, and there's gradual improvement in the Western Cape. Prior, there's some challenges around reluctance on this, but if you see the status now, the gradual move from the last financial year from 50% to 80% establishment of that. We think that there's still a long way for these structures of oversight, both the MPEX, the municipal audit committees, as well as the internal audit unit. So a good feature like this, ordinarily, it should translate into a well-functioning and robust mechanism for holding the administration accountable, for detecting early warning challenges around non-achievement of pre-standard objectives, or any warning sign around non-expenditure. So we think that the more we invest on this, as well as working collaboratively with COCA and also with key elements of the financial management pillar under back to basics, we should begin to start measuring the efficacy of these mechanisms in terms of ensuring that municipalities themselves have realized value out of investment around this area. The area around local government leading the fight against corruption and maladministration. SALGA convened last day November a very successful local government anti-corruption summit on the 29th of November. Local government pledging right across all municipalities, signing pledges. At the same time, we've now worked a very clear proposal around the regulatory review, made submission to COCA around ensuring that the National Anti-Corruption Summit must translate into positive measure commitment against the municipality. Secondly, ensuring that going forward regulation must be heightened to make sure that the incidences of corruption, fraud and maladministration are dealt with very swiftly and decisively in municipalities. Around the fight in collusion in the construction industry, again a well-reported challenge across, and almost 6 of 4 municipalities were direct victims of the challenge arising largely from 2010 major construction project, and working closely with the joint enforcement agencies in our country, working closely with the Competition Commission and the National Treasury, we have identified areas where to date almost these municipalities have now received certificates in terms of acknowledgement of the extent of the damage that they have suffered, and paving the way for them to take further actions around the area. These are the municipalities that have largely fallen into that category of challenges around this matter. Another fourth goal, review out of position impacting negatively in local government, the public administration bill, where participated representative municipalities and public hearings on the bill, participated in the NCOP debate, and also made representations around what we still think are pertinent challenges around the structure of the bill, and we think that there are still areas that need to be worked very closely. In our view, the bill, although it has certain elements of our reservation, is a much more improved version compared to the one published in 2013. Again, on the lobbying for the promulgation of the Systems Amendment Act, that was promulgated in 2011, we worked closely in terms of lobbying for the renewal of certain elements of this, and in 2014 a new regulation was issued by the Minister of COCSA, accommodating the SALGA's genuine concerns around the need for municipalities to still have an element of discretion around this matter. We think that that is a success in terms of ensuring stability in local government, at the same time introducing seconds on how to deal with these matters. Around the area of IGR and advocacy, the local government week is one of the premier platforms that SALGA has pushed for. It is now approaching its third year since its inaugural session, and it's convened jointly by SALGA and NCOP here in Parliament in terms of ensuring that we're able to push for a number of areas that reflect both successes of laws and policies passed, at the same time areas where there's been clear incidences of unintended consequences around it. So that platform serves very clearly in terms of the interface between provincial, national and local government leadership to advance the interests of the sector. again, the level of ensuring that there's engagement with parliamentary leadership, both the NDOP as well as National Assembly, the leadership of Australia continue to engage at those levels. On the area of councillor support and welfare, we think that as SALGA, we have moved a long way in terms of ensuring that there's gradual, meaningful improvement in the overall of the welfare of councillors. Area dealing with the challenges around their vulnerability, attacks, the risk cover for councillors, the improvement around the upper limits, as well as grading of municipalities. Certain areas around ensuring the pension fund management are ongoing concerns for the leadership of SALGA. And we now see a lot of gradual improvement in overall conditions of councils. What, however, remains though, with SALGA leadership is still pushing hard for, is the need for an equitable and harmonious organization across the system. That's an area that is still a major challenge, both at the level of the Commission for the Remuneration of Councillors, but at the same time dealing with the overall structure of all of the areas in a way that ensures greater comparability at the same time greater equity in terms of the welfare regime of public affairs. We have presented municipalities in sectoral disputes in terms of challenges on collective bargaining and also ensuring that we have labour stability in the sector, something that was uncharacteristic in the last 5 years. But we now have and continue to enjoy relative stability in the sector and direct hands-on support on areas that, when they are left unattended, conciliation challenges, arbitration problem, they tend to first turn into bigger collective bargaining issues. So we zoom into direct support in a number of areas in municipalities. The municipal employees around these areas we've now implemented and ensure that it is supported by organized labor. We must reinforce a strike management guideline to enable municipalities to have a clear management instrument at their disposal around their managing strike. The SALGA Center for Leadership and Governance is one of the premier undertakings around consolidating our focus on human capital development, but at the same time looking at niching the support to provide thought leadership as an investment in local government. And that product will be launched very soon by the leadership of SALGA at its special National Assembly early next year. Sessions that have been run across provinces, Northwest, Eastern Cape, around also focusing with senior management orientation in action program, other people will be employed to the sector. They have not been exposed at all to the sector. And SALGA is now running a very clear special senior management in action program also for municipal managers. These are the statistics around areas of support around conciliation, the areas we've received, what we have associated around resolving, what are the areas where municipalities now have a clear mechanism to pick up hands-on support from SALGA on this area. On the area of arbitration, again, during the year and review, these are the areas where we have played significant support in terms of ensuring that workplace issues, there's very clear stability and tools of management of that space around our home. On the area of performance management system, with AGS largely raised in a number of municipalities where they have received qualification of the determinants, these are areas under review for our goal where we provided support in various provinces, direct hands-on support in terms of putting a system, helping them implement the system, at the same time ensuring that there's clear conditions for implementing performance management system. The rest of the provinces in the country, we have identified all these municipalities that were reported during the year. The backing challenge around audit outcomes. SALGA has worked last year and this year on a care program, what we call a MAS program, Municipal Audit Support Program, to look at a long range strategy in terms of ensuring that we must have a dedicated hands on support to work collaboratively with core partners, National Treasury, COCTA, as well as provincial treasuries, to ensure that we have a very clear support program to focus on municipalities. And our focus, Chairperson, is on the municipalities that year in, year out, they are perpetually recipients of poor all the outcomes at the level of disclaimer, adverse, and non-admission of financial statements. The rest of municipalities are the qualification, unqualified, and claim. Those are touch point areas. Our focus is on these 7 9. We designate them as those who are in a red zone in the 2012. And we've now developed a 4-pillar strategy that focuses not only on fixing an asset register or whatever has been picked up, but to look at institutional capacity, financial management, leadership, and governance. Because we believe that these 4 areas working together, supported, they are likely to give a sustained, improved, clean administration that the Minister has mentioned earlier on in all our municipalities that we should strive for. We have designated a 4-phase strategy that will follow our municipal audit support program and indicated that going forward by 31 March 2015, these are the 39 municipalities that our teams are currently assessing them to a diagnostic tool to look at what is it that can be implemented between 31 March up until phase 2. And our aim at that level will be a significant reduction in the number of municipalities that are in the race. So at the same time, right up until the next tier of our 5-year cycle, 2016 to 2021, we hope that there should start the offshoots of a general maturity measure in local government, focusing on enhancing efficiencies and effectiveness around performance, the hallmarks of the Back to Base program. The adopted municipalities for audit support are listed in the slide. They range into different provinces. Others will be 3, as we said, is those ones that are solely on the radar, distinct, adverse, inability to submit. And we're beginning to see some of the results, Chairperson, as we would look at the report of 2012-2013 AG. Out of the 79 municipalities, a number of them were unable, about 23 were unable to even submit financial statements. But when you look at the submission rate for the 31 August 2014, out of those 11 were able to submit, and unfortunately there were 5 new ones that were unable to submit on time on 31. But we think that even halving that 11 is a good measure to be able to submit financial statements. We have also rolled out sessions around credit control and debt management in municipalities. And also through these measures, we are running sessions with municipal finance managers around strengthening that area of revenue sustainability in municipalities. Capacity building program for councillors. We have also developed an assessment report on the functions of audit committees. In the main, our program looks at improving the oversight and also looking at strengthening the interface between these 3 components, audit committee, public accounts, and internal audit. We piloted this program during the year under review in Mfembe District as well as the Western Cape, and it has now been rolled out across these provinces. To date, 800 councillors across the spectrum have participated in the program, and this statistic is broken down into all the provinces as shown on the slide. Internally at Salga, we have already indicated here, we are on the stabilization front. Having launched up for 5 years in a row, 3 unqualified audits, 2 clean audits as an organization, as well as performance at the optimum level. We are not satisfied where we are until such time that we improve on the elements of efficiency, both in terms of cost allocative efficiency, but at the same time growing a robust revenue infrastructure for sustainability of the organization. The municipal barometer speaks to goal number 7, again on the area of building a capability for internal data intelligence for the sector, for local government. Working with various partners is an area that will strengthen also oversight and benchmarking. Municipal managers forum is a major area where we share sessions with the municipalities around a feeder mechanism, new policies emerging, new regulation, at the same time use that as a mandate collecting point for areas that perhaps may have unintended consequences in the sector. It is working relatively well and is on its 8th session, the most recent being in Mpumalanga Bombela in September 4 and 5. On the financial performance, Chairperson, again, we have painted a picture of the last 7 years of the organization in terms of how it has built its own capability financially, moving from a status that was largely very difficult to 2012-2007 financial year. As you could see, a growing stabilization in all these ratios as they reflect to 2014. On our liquidity ratios reflect a significant stabilization in terms of our ability to meet our business as a growing concern. Also at the level of the activity ratios, both current ratio, we are doing we're doing relatively well in terms of turning around the situation. It may still not be optimal, but it still communicates a story of significant improvement in the overall outlook of financial governance, financial administration, and emerging financial sustainability, which we think that it should be a core pillar, largely in turning around municipalities as well. Our solvency ratio significantly improved again during the period as mapped out over this period. One of our Achilles heels has always been the challenge of being a membership-based organization that rely on levies and receive less from the national system. And this levy modality, organizational operations, is a voluntary instrument, and there is no statutory imposed obligation for municipal to pay. And when you compare these years from 2009-2014, significantly improving membership services, ability to advance the interest of the sector acknowledging that you see a steady improvement across the sector. The picture that you see in 2013-2014 as well as 2012-2013 financial year, where we are able now to sit around above 90% collection levels around the municipalities. It is still a largely unreliable instrument, and we think that even going forward, the path is becoming more difficult. You will see that the complementary component of this resource is the share from the national fiscal, which has been around 26 million in terms of 2014-2015. But in the 2015-2016, it has been slashed into 9 million. In terms of that. So significantly, when you go forward 2016-2017, SALGA will receive nothing from the national fiscal. And there are corresponding obligations to service members. So much as we have our own improvements in terms of internal processes, significantly it presents a major policy indications going forward. But in the outer years, there will be no allocation, and we have already received correspondence to that effect from the national treasury. We have moved up to this level of organization, which we think that is ultimate acknowledgement in Parliament that a SALGA that leads local government must lead by example for its own credibility. And it took us time to build this level, and we hope to sustain and maintain both at the performance level as well as the financial administration. It has taken us quite a long time from 2007, but we think that we are close to reaching the optimum level of funds for the organization. We just have to ramp up certain areas of efficiency, and perhaps with the complexity of our mandate, that of representing others, advocating, but without any executive or statutory power to intervene when there's problems. We still have to play a largely influential role in the sector to do right things to improve the image of local governments. We have taken a very long time, Chairperson, to indicate where we have come from. We think that we are beginning to see green shoots in our organizational focus going forward. And some of the seven goals that we took time to entrench are beginning to show signs of positive fruit. We are still not satisfied where we are. We want to be in an area where this translates largely to the sector showing achievement of all the issues that the Minister has spoken about. Back to basics, delivering quality services to our people, ensuring that there's accountability, there's public participation, and democratize the space of local government, and we employ competent people in local government. This would lead us to these five focus areas that will now shape what we'll be doing going forward as well in terms of our annual performance plan. The militants cover this area quite largely, will not spend time, but this would be the anchor program for us going forward as well. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me invite the addition from the leadership. Any point that you want to add? Okay, thank you very much. Comrades, honorable members, the report is presented. Honorable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the report and congratulate Salga again on an unqualified keen audit. Well done. It's a good report. It's a very good report. I do have some concerns, however, and I hope that you will take these as constructive criticism rather than criticism for the sake of being critical. So my first concern relates not so much to the presentation as the report itself, and specifically the chapter on your organizational performance. And if I go through it, I'm concerned about your target setting mechanism. Because just about any target is not specific. It's not measurable. You know, there's an acronym that gets used when you're getting Bolton objectives, SMART. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timed. And these have not got numeric objective criteria. It's very vague and kind of floating out there. So I have a concern in that regard. During the presentation, you touched on membership and the need for membership levies to fund organizations. Can you just go back to that slide? The one with the graph on it. There we go. I have a question here. Is this cost meant to be a monthly cumulative recovery? Because it starts off very low at the beginning of each financial year and ends up quite high. But it is a cumulative figure. I need to know why it kind of peaks in the middle. You know, if it's cumulative, it should climb steadily all the way to the end and be at its highest point at the end. So I have a question on that. But also a question, the amount that you are charging for your levies. There have been some significant increases over the past couple of years. I believe the last increase was 25%. I'd be wrong on that, but that's the figure that sticks in my mind. So that's the second question. The third then goes to your revenue and your expenditure in your financial report. Let me go back to the members' levy. It was 17% in the last financial year, just based on your report on page 205 of the annual report. With a 17% increase in levies collected. But if we go to your income and expenditure, over the last 2 years, you've demonstrated a surplus of 31 million rand in 2012-13 and 35 million rand in 2013-14. Now that's, in the latter case, an amount of, sorry, the other round. 10% of your total budget is coming in as a surplus. And that means that your members are funding a bank balance. They're not funding a service because they're not getting any direct benefits. It's going into having cash in the bank. At the moment, you have 75 million rand in reserves, and that's effectively come out of the last 2 years of financial operations. You spoke about remuneration parity for councillors, and I have a question over that. I understand the desire for everyone to have higher remuneration and to be remunerated on a similar pattern, but the reality is that different councils have different needs. Most of these councils are part-time. The majority of councils are part-time. Far and away the majority of councillors are part-time. They can't be compared to, say, a member of parliament or a member of the provincial legislature. Some of the small councils cannot afford the salary that they're paying already, So we have to question whether that is a realistic thing that we should be fighting for, or should we not be educating people about what is realistic in their environment, in their particular context, what is a realistic remuneration. You had a graph about conciliation and arbitration, and in particular on the conciliation graph, I am very concerned about the low resolution rate. More than 50% of those hearings are unresolved, and that's an issue for me. And then you had a list of municipalities that you've been supporting and assisting, and my question is, how did you select those municipalities? Because, you know, they're not the worst performing municipalities. In one case, one was, but the municipalities that are repeat offenders, Money Bank doesn't appear on the list. Moyi Bokwana, which has just been resolved, doesn't appear on the list. Ndaka Molema Modiri doesn't appear on the list. These are municipalities that are in dire straits, and they're not receiving the support from Zelda. Or maybe they are, but they're not listed on that list of supported municipalities. My last point is perhaps the most controversial, and that is your senior staff remuneration has increased by 20% year on year. In fact, Mr. George, your salary is higher than that of double that of the Director General. It's higher than that of the President of South Africa. It's higher than that of any cabinet minister, and it was an increase of 32% year on year, if I look at page 226 and 227. And other staff members had similar increases. Now, it seems to me that it's unrealistic for an organization that is promoting good governance to have staff members that are earning such exorbitant salaries. And I'd really like some input as to why those salaries are the levels they are, because I can't see any justification for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me invite Sasha to give you the questions.
I think generally the report of Sarah is good. We must congratulate you on the report and on the achievement of the predetermined objectives. I'm just worried about the funding from National Africa. That's going to be almost not only happening in 2005 and 2006 or 2007. 2015 and 2016 or 2017. Just want to find out if there are any reasons given by COPTA or National Treasury for that situation.
Okay. Another question, colleagues?
Okay.
Let me invite the leadership of COPTA.
Chair, if you could allow us to invite the CFO to speak to Laurent Salahi, the chair of the Asian Service. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon to the honorable members of the committee. The first question has got to do with the gradient of the cap for our payment levels. Apparently, one would like to indicate that due to the nature of the manner that the membership levy is derived, is that at the beginning of the financial year, it is based on year two of the MTF budget cycle of the municipalities. Upon that has been finalized, because we've got a misaligned financial year, once the municipalities have approved their budgets for that specific financial year, before 31st May of that year. By that time, we've already issued our invoices. We do a revenue assurance exercise in order to align our membership levy in line with the applicable budget of that specific municipality during the course of the financial year. That explains the not so smooth gradient. However, it reflects a cumulative percentage leading up to the financial year in terms of our collection level. One of the aspects I would also wish to draw the committee to page 206 of the report, particularly as it pertains through to the percentage increase of the membership fee. On page 206, it aligns the trajectory of the membership fee formula as approved by SALGA members at the International National Conference in 2012. Due to the structural funding of SALGA, members had agreed to go on to this trajectory to reach this 1 percentage point. And I'm pleased to announce to the committee that the 1 percentage point has been attained during the 2014-15 financial year, and thereafter our formula that is utilized to derive the membership levy amount it remains static. So besides the organic growth in terms of the budget figure, the 11% increase in the 25% or so figure looking overall has already been inbuilt as part of the trajectory building up to the 1 percentage point. That explains that it's also included in page 2-6 of the report itself. In regards to the surpluses, the organization in fact has been in the forefront of implementing cost containment measures, reduction of cost and so forth. Now, what has been happening is that notwithstanding what is budgeted for, because of SALGA being ahead of the curve before even the Trade National Salary Instruction Note number 1 of 2013-14 was issued, the organization has already been for travel, speaking to economic class, limiting to group B vehicles, not allowing accommodation where trips are less than 200 kilometers and so forth. The culmination of all those cost containment measures has resulted in SALGA being able to stretch the rent from the limited resources that it obtains from its members. And the members would recall that SALGA spends in the region of about 80 million on office accommodation throughout the 10 offices across the country. It is something that is not sustainable going forward. Now, these cashback reserves for the future are intended as well to fund SALGA old administrative building, such as that we can free up the OPEX that is currently sunk in terms of the office accommodation. So it's informed by a long-term view in terms of the objective of what the entity seeks to attain.
Good afternoon, Chair members. Just on the conciliation aspect, although it's indicated that all of them are not resolved, must remember that some of these matters are not resolved at conciliation and they actually move on to the arbitration process. So these are just where we actually represent the conciliation referrals. So that's the first referral to the bargaining council. We don't always in the bargaining council follow the conciliation arbitration combined process that you will find in the CCMA. So we are dealing with the conciliation, some of them move on to arbitration, so a number of them are not resolved at conciliation. We will do that. Thank you. Then just on the question of the municipality selected for support, SOGA identified in terms of the performance coming from our provincial offices, municipalities for support, but because we don't have executive authorities, we need an agreement of those municipalities. So we would identify municipalities and then consult them on whether they would be interested in receiving this support. And in particular, we need our specific support on the performance management system, and I know about three provinces we had to change the municipalities that we wanted to support because some of those municipalities were not available for support at that point.
Mr. Chair, yes, let me also make an input on a few issues. One, the issue on reserves. Why are we having reserves when we are supposed to be spending the money on municipalities? I think it's part of our being prudent on budgetary matters. The Auditor General is always advising us to have an amount for risk purposes. In this we have legal matters that we have to deal with and so on. You notice that unforeseen. So one or another, you need to have some kind of, so it ends up being a surplus in case that those unforeseen circumstances do not take place. So it's part just of mainly of budgetary processes. But of course, it is a way of saying, it doesn't mean simply because there is money just spent it. And also, on councillor remuneration, SOGA has been making inputs to the committee and also making submissions even to FLC to say sometimes councillors, we see them as public press, sometimes they are not. I think they can talk to this business. And we have made submissions even to the independent remuneration commission that councillors should be remunerated from the national fiscus, so that municipalities then can only be utilizing their resources mainly for implementation purposes, not also to fund air councils. I think this also came out now sharply when we were looking into the limitation of what's preparing for local government elections, that you might have more wards, and then you add more councillors, and then councils can't even afford to this. So it has been a serious case in this regard, that says, really, we should look into having this councillors being remunerated from national officers. But obviously now the role is not in the council's court, it is here to whom the decision must be taken by the leadership. And on the issue of salary increases and remuneration of senior managers, this speaks to the brain. They also earn more than I do. Let's take for instance that we are in a very competitive environment, I must indicate, members. For instance, quite recently we lost three executive directors to one metro. So you might just see, even if we pay more, we still can lose people if we want to retain skills and so forth. Even the CEO that we are having presently, we recruited him from Joburg City. Now you can understand, if you talk about Joburg City and so forth, what are the remuneration levels at that level? But for us, I must say, it's not an issue of liking and therefore determining the remuneration. Although I'm indicating that we are working in this competitive environment where also the private sector is always taking from us as subject. But we do have a remuneration policy as subject and also a remuneration panel that is advising the NEC. For instance, that panel, just to quote a few of the members there, is highly respectable people in the industries. We do have the Mr. Nigel Olifir, you know that the chairperson is us. We do have Babu Chosu. We do have Professor Duanui. And we also have Babu Zuibansi, Dr. Faisal Randera, and others. as a panel that advises the NEC. So we also make sure that it's not just a matter of we agreeing on our own somewhere there. The independent panel advises and then we look into their report and so forth. So this issue, it is an issue that one way or another we will not be able to resolve. We are complaining that smaller municipalities can't retain space simply because they can't afford. And at the same time, we also have these bigger municipalities that can afford skills, and they always go out and take skills from those who cannot afford. So for us, we also make sure that at least we should balance the skills and be able to retain these skills, because the measures that we are having, you must remember that they are sensing even bigger metros. So they also need to be at least on par or above a par when it comes to these metros, because some of these metros, of course, they do have the necessary skills. And we are the ones who always advise them on issues. So we need to have highly skilled executive directors to work in this environment. And then, of course, we also are advising other smaller municipalities and so forth. But I'm just indicating to the committee that it's not only an internal arrangement. We do have a panel that is advising the NEC on this matter. And the environment is obviously highly competitive, given the fact that we are working in that environment where these metros, mainly big metros, can afford some of these human resources in the industry. I'm not sure that there are any other issues that need to be addressed. You, can we also address the questions that are standing?
Thank you very much. Except to reinforce the point you were raising, the submission of SALGA is not for equal payment of councillors. It's for equity in the remuneration regime. So the part of the difficulties for smaller ones to be able to cover even the payment, if there is no equity appreciation, how much the municipality can pay. So SALGA is called for a national fiscus to cover that part. But in the equity, in the remuneration regime, it's more to look and comparatively with the public of Sudan, provincially and nationally, in terms of the components of the support measures. And it's an area that we will be working closely and also seeking guidance from the national legislature and provincial legislature. And the call is more for equitable remuneration regime in effect. And gradually, there are elements that build towards that. Members did not even have medical aid. Now they are able to recover that. They could not have a better pension benefit. Now they are beginning to have that. They could not receive training or even provided with a computer to do the work, because it was viewed as municipal finance management at prohibited issue. We had to push for that. Now they are able to receive. So there has been various components that largely, when you start comparing across public of there, they were a bit of a limited pay. So that's the call around those two areas. The difficult around maintaining, the CFO has raised, maintaining some elements of tuition in terms of what would come as a surplus. Members operate from a financial year of July to June, and how they operate in an awkward public cycle. So come April, May, June, in spite of business budget cycle, where you have no resources and you are largely dependent on membership payments, you have a difficult period in a year. So it is not a money kept to show in the books that we have positive. It is money that helps in difficult environments that we have gone through. However, we've been attracting interest from SALGA on many areas. The last point on the smart objectives.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good day once again to honorable member. Relating to the issue of targets, the smartness of the targets, I think a principle that we have adopted is, in general, is one that we will continue to take continuous constructive feedback as it comes, and I think that's how we have taken that. And in this particular instance, we come from a long journey of enhancing the smartness of the targets and the key performance indicators relating to those. How we have tried to manage that is one of the steps, including engagement with the auditor general. Other than the fact that they sit in our audit committee, which also audits performance and there's numerous engagement there, but in the final analysis, after we've done our planning, we subject our targets to the scrutiny of the auditor general prior to us admitting them to the NEC for approval. The auditor general then looks at them in the context of auditing principles, including the principles of auditing performance, of course, then relating that to the mandate of Southern. So we've been quite vigilant in ensuring that indeed they are smart. Obviously, then come end of the year when they do their budget, they then refer back to those principles that they had applied in measuring the smartness of our target. So it that really has given us the comfort going forward, as well as continue to refine them. Now, if there are specific ones where, despite the AG having pronounced to themselves that they are comfortable with the smartness, we'll always continue to take that, as well as in the process of the planning going forward. Thank you very much.
Sure. Also, if you look, there has been a mention of other municipalities of which are not indicated in terms of the support, intervention, and so forth. May I just remind members that we are looking into the past performance of the previous initial year. And actually, President, we are contemplating to have our NEC in the Northwest Province and us to be there and meet with municipalities before our formal NEC meeting and discuss some of the issues, because some of the issues basically are more political rather than administrative. So those are some, I'm just indicating them, some of the municipalities have been mentioned that they basically are in our focus with the Selegat. Here it is, those municipalities previously that we have to deal with. I get members maybe turning cheek or in a lighter note mentioning Nelson Mandela. We have been also getting into that municipality. One day we will give a proper report to the committee. What did we do and what are the challenges that we've been faced with in some of the municipalities. But generally, in some cases we find it's more of politics in that particular environment that are prevailing and making it difficult for some of the issues to be executed as we would love to. So we will basically come to the committee to say these are the 10 key, should I say, unstable municipalities that we would love all of us to focus on and so forth, and what are the issues there. I think that will help us, because it's not only Southern or Kwakta, but us making sure that a local government works at the end of the day. Thanks.
Sir, that's just one last point, Chair Saugus, let's just reinforce the point that I was making earlier on. If I could refer members to the annual report that was circulated earlier on page 218, note number 12, where the AG actually pronounces themselves that they have actually, if I can just read a quick extract from there on note number 12, that I had performed a test to determine whether the indicators and targets were well-defined, verifiable, specific, measurable, etc., as required. I assessed the liability of the reported performance and performance information, maybe I shouldn't read the whole paragraph, but just to make the point there that the auditor general in their final audit, in the audit report, has expressed an opinion that they are satisfied of the smartness of the indicators. Thanks, Chair.
No, Chair, I was going to make the point that in relation to performance, the auditor general has actually provided opinion. I'm surprised that Chair if you look into reference certain municipalities, those are pilot municipalities. In general, as I advocate for all categories of municipalities, the issues that we profile for metros, for districts, and for municipalities as poor municipalities, including the rural urban divide, urban municipalities, we do advocate for all of them. The other point that was made by the minister, I'm sure you would have seen that there was some policy review on districts. Those are some of them that are listed up by some that say there is a need for us to change. Across the report, so you would also see that there would be some issues that were raised. If you talk about water regulations, you advocate for one response to the panel. And then you can only profile that one that is a kind of control. In general, I'm sure the questions are answered. From smart objects, membership, revenue, cash, all those issues that were raised, I'm sure sufficient to would have come. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, if there's no other comment. Can I repeat your question, Eva?
I might follow up.
Okay, let me check my Ulana. Can I just repeat your question?
In funding for national fiscals, I asked whether there were reasons provided for that, because the presentation says 2015-2016 there is going to be a decrease amounting to 9.2 million. 2016-2017 there is not going to be any funding from national fiscals. But as you scroll, Chair, I just want to clarify that information which is on page 227 of your annual report, particularly the first. The first bullet point on going concern, because here it says that there is going to be allocation of 26.9, 27.9, and 29.3 respectively for the financial years 2014-15 and 2015-16 and 2016-17. That's reconcile the information. But if what is on the latest is true, I think it would be interesting just to get the reasons as to why is there such a drastic departure from the contribution, because PALGA is the creation of legislation, as far as I understand. It is that organized what local government to make provision for the creation of PALGA. So there is some kind of expectation that if legislation makes provision for the creation of an institution, the institution has to somehow be funded by the national fiscal. So I just want to understand that.
Listen, with all due respect to Councilman Yoni, and I get concerned about losing staff to metros, etc., but the highest paid municipal manager in South Africa is not earning 3 million rand a year. The highest paid is not earning 3 million rand a year. The president of the country is not earning 3 million rand a year. Director generals in every single national department aren't earning 2 million rand a year. So how then can we justify having people earning 3.5 million rand? And I keep coming back to this, it is untenable. You can't say that you're going to lose people when there are 54 government departments to draw from. We have a civil service of 3.5 million people. And at that salary, I guarantee you will find good people. But this salary is disproportionate. First of all, the gap between the CEO and the next person is 50%. 50% between the CEO and the next senior manager. That's wrong. Secondly, it's so much, or it's so out of proportion with the rest of the government service that it cannot be considered to be a normal salary. That's the second thing. The third is that the increase of 32% year on year is again a ridiculous increase. We're talking about cost-cutting measures. We're talking about how can we make government affordable, and so we go and give salary increases of 32%. We're contributing to inflation by doing that. Just one other aspect on it. On page 209, you break up your operating expenditure by category. And for an organization that focused on projects and programs, you spend a disproportionate amount of your expenditure on salaries. Over 50% of your expenditure is on salaries. Now that's very high. You will know that the norm is about 30 to 35%. In most government structures, most government organizations, 30 to 35%, and the rest goes on projects and programs. So that's extremely high. I think that you need to go and relook this issue. And I take your point that you have a very respected panel of remuneration people. I think they need to take a long, hard look at what they've done here. Because they've created a situation that's going to come back and bite them. We've just seen regulations that have been promulgated by the minister, not regulations, guidelines that have been sent to the municipality saying, bring the cost of your municipal managers down. Bring the cost of your directors down. When you appoint a new municipal manager, and it's a problem in the municipality, because they've now got municipal managers who are early less than the directors, the current directors. When you appoint a new municipal manager, and the minister has said, this is the salary level, and it's lower than what his directors are earning, it's a problem. But it's lower, and yet you've got an increase significantly. Now that's wrong. And I think that you need, just a comment, I mean, you don't have to respond to it, but you need to take this back to your remuneration panel and ask them to relook at it because it's not right.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I think the matter has been noted. That's exactly what we will be doing in this circle. Chair, on the issue of financing of salary, it's quite difficult. The reason that we received, and I think the reason that everybody is getting, was that presently the budget is really getting tightened up. That was basically the reason. And we had surplus, but unfortunately the surplus was for operational purposes for a 10, and I don't think that was taken into consideration. But generally, Chairperson, I think in our country we are not handling matters right. In other words, we don't reward performance. For instance, at local government level, all municipalities that are performing well financially, they then don't get finance to support them because they can basically do on their own. Those that are not necessarily performing quite well financially, they then are getting support either from provincial or national to sustain them. And I think we must find a way of giving reward to sustainability and not always be assisting where there are problems to make sure that local government should sustain itself, and where it sustains itself, we then also can give that kind of an acknowledgement and reward. But in our case, in the case of Saga, this is the issue. But I must indicate a person. I've indicated to the deputies, our office bearers, that maybe we also need to accept this state of affairs and see then how can we then get this body performing in terms of its objectives. Because it has to, as long as it exists, it must meet those objectives. Because that's what we would want it to be doing. And it won't be an excuse, the matter of financing for Salga. It is an issue that we've been raising all the time. And it really is a matter that is quite a different heart. And we need to take to cognizance that some of these municipalities who are paying these contributions, they basically can't afford at the end of the day. That's when we were then expecting that the national fiscals will then be able to assist. but the opposite is basically happening. And on the issues that we raised on some of the foreign grants and so on, it is because of the role that we play, well, I will tell you, the software role, where we also get involved on national and international platforms and interacting with either your UN Habitat and other bodies to make sure that they also can assist municipalities that are lesser fortunate when it comes to matters of finances and so forth. And it is quite really difficult to manage some of those issues. But from the SAGA point of view, presently, we need to prepare for this eventuality and be able to see how we then can perform under the circumstances that are prevailing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I thought I would have to reinforce the answering to the point of what would be the reason for reduction. Recently we attended the budget forum when the minister would have emphasized that they are cutting across the board. And the issue that we will not be able to get the specifics, but we have to live within our means. And so it's a decision that the Border Budget Forum would come to. There were no specific tangible that we don't think we are performing, but that we would be not be able to provide extra what we used to get. So that would be the point, Chair.
You put in as well, I mean.
We are to retreat with the Minister of Culture, and part of our informal meeting was that we have a meeting of standing. And Chair, in the reconfiguration of the new government, the Republic, there's a sense that we will issue that we need to align. And we will be going back with the Minister of Culture to present our issues to the Minister of Finance.
Okay, let's move on.
And Bamayo, do you want to conclude now? Any point that you want to raise? Of course, you rely entirely now on the contribution from small municipalities. And then 2016, no man is a huge cut. So it should be very systematic to allow you space to increase. And for some of the comments really that were raised, I think you take care of them, work on some of the issues as possible. And then our view always that is work a little bit closer with us when we undertake our study tours or visits or oversight functions. We should always be in touch with the leadership of SAGA. Of course, they wouldn't tell us where to go because they don't want to see their heads on. But even their great performing on 2x2 was just to go and see what's happening. Actually, we thought that you want channel us to Johannesburg only and Mangabu. I'm sure the Mangabu is performing very well, but I guess it's performing very well. Performing very well. I'm not seeing winning any national awards. The bigger challenge that I think the Shepherdson must address the situation. Rafa and Dan, I'm not sure what is happening there. No international award at the moment. The club has got nothing. There are a lot of challenges. Of course, I think also it's good because the minister already have and introduced the whole concept of the two pieces. And the fact that we are supporting that, we are told. That we are trying to focus on the tools to address the challenge of the pieces. It seems we are on track in terms of the broader issues of local government. And of course, sustaining it is going to take longer than expected. And I think members, they conduct the oversight function. I'm told that only 25 to 28, you want to go for an oversight function. I know that Honorable Melham has oversight function in living in Taiwan. And then they can go to Taiwan and do oversight function because the internationality understood. not a challenge of South Africa, also international challenges. They learn from those experiences. And now I know that you are always business in Mandela here because you are in an area of interest.
That's my hope.
Maybe you should consider you want a man. And then perhaps within 2 months. So. But the point is that local government is very important for us. I think that's why we have spent so much time discussing the local government issues, or designing people based with the ministry, the committee, and South and side. I think that is very useful engagement.
Maybe we've already given up on the investment.
No, there's no surrender. the point that running local government is the most difficult era for us. And then we all know that I wouldn't wish to be canceled. The most difficult work to do is for us to be in head down. To have a first function is far better to be there. If you take into the court and run in Bangui, municipality, I think 2 months on the line will be not that. If we're not paying resources, they're not paying for everything, it's generally a bigger problem. That our staff generally have not been able to address the non-payment of services over time. And the cash of entitlement or the tenders of entitlement is keeping in. It's more problem for the overall running of the local government. And the automation of this card not doing well. There are a lot of challenges. So, of course, we are looking forward to hear what the minister says tomorrow when he's presenting his budget policy statement. Thank you very much, Chris, for coming and having a discussion with us. We really appreciate the engagement. Every time we learn from some experiences. And I think that of what you're going to do. We hope that the ministry will share the plan, look for them, look for your cousin, look. And it's not enough that they won't get money there. Or 90 million goes down the drain also because now it's there also to look for them. That's a point that is very important. That's been a very good one. The officer general was briefing us on it to be every summer. Mm-hmm. And that you're doing well and it seems you're on track. And hopefully then there will be no different approach. After 3 years again, go down and right here, we're up and down, so it's like for you. You'll be moving forward forever now. And then basic services then are very critical, I think. We are able to engage the government union from time to time. And that's where the discussion we are engaging in this one for. And then it be our processes outside of budget record recommendation and review. And the intention is to amend the national budget. It will take no less than 20 years for Parliament to amend the national budget. Hands are taken. Honorable power to say many I change the national budget. There are no economies in all land. We can't do that. But we are trying to do that. And we hope that we are going to learn from our experience and then we can be able to manage some of the issues that are raised here. But I want to remember again that we have exhausted what we wanted to discuss with Congress from Africa. And the leadership and the team administration. Thank them there for coming. And then hopefully okay, next year we'll meet and have some discussion about the future of the organization. Thank you very much, colleagues. We'll allow you. If you want tea, I think there might be tea somewhere. Parliament is not as poor as you think, I think it is. And there's also your card here.
There is a survey in the Silo Quarter on the 29th to the 30th of October.
I think the chairperson should get the invite. It's already sent, probably it's somewhere in the chairperson's office. But I'm not sure if that's very much there. I'm going to tell myself.
Members, just 5 minutes really after this.